I believe it was in 1978 when the Reverend Dr. Billy Graham came to Singapore for the Billy Graham Crusade, where many people came to know the Lord. I believe it was on the occasion where Billy Graham himself called Singapore the Antioch of Asia. And the question is, what does he mean? If you look at Antioch in the Bible, in the region of Syria, Antioch became the venue of the first international church and the springboard for worldwide missions in the early days. It was from Antioch that Barnabas and Saul were commissioned as the first missionaries. They blazed the trail that brought the gospel to the regions of Pamphylia and Galatia in AD 46 in their first missionary journey. It was also from Antioch in AD 49 where Paul and Silas, and then later with Timothy, further blazed the trail for the gospel to Asia Minor, to Macedonia on their second missionary journey. And then in AD 53, Paul embarked on a third missionary journey once again from Antioch with his partners, and this time they revisited many of the churches established from the first two journeys. You see, the church at Antioch was a seedbed for growing trailblazers for the kingdom of God. Antioch was the launching pad used by the Holy Spirit to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ eventually to the entire Roman Empire. The church of Antioch was also the first established Gentile church. The church at Antioch was also the first multinational church of Jesus Christ. All together sounds like Singapore, doesn't it? Antioch was the third largest city in the Roman Empire, surpassed only by Rome and by Alexandria in North Africa. Antioch had a population of about 500,000, and it was extremely cosmopolitan. There were Jews, lots of Jews, and there were also Orientals that came from Persia, from India, even from China. In addition, there were Africans, there were Latins in Antioch. The church of Antioch was used by the Holy Spirit as a springboard for the gospel of Jesus Christ to the entire Roman Empire, to the glory of God the Father. But the question is, how? How did Antioch become such a powerful missional community used by the Spirit of God to blaze this trail for the kingdom throughout the empire? But more relevantly, how can we as a church become like Antioch? How can BPMC become like Antioch, from which the Holy Spirit can call workers, laborers, both here and to travel the globe, to blaze the trail for the gospel in Singapore and throughout the world, perhaps even beyond our five focus countries? How can we become a seedbed for nurturing trailblazers for the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is worthy of all praise and worship? Amen. So please turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 11, to our text this morning. Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 26 is our text this morning. Allow me to read, and if you're able to, please stand with me as we read God's word. Acts 11, 19 to 26. Now those who were scattered by the persecution in connection with Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, telling the message only to Jews. But some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the ears of the church at Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw the evidence of the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them to remain true to the Lord with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, And when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. For a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. This is God's word. Please be seated. Let us pray, shall we? Heavenly Father, by your Holy Spirit, speak your word into our hearts today. And help us become the church you have called us to be, to become a seedbed for the growing of trailblazers for the kingdom of Jesus, to the praise and glory of your name. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. How can BPMC become a seedbed for trailblazers in the kingdom of God? First, treasure each person according to their calling in Christ. You see, when Barnabas arrived in Antioch, he saw the grace of God in the believers there, and he treasured it. He was glad, extremely glad, when he saw God's grace at work. My brothers and sisters in Christ, to become a seedbed for trailblazers, we need to value each person for who they uniquely are, as recipients of the grace of God, as called by the grace of God. Be careful that we do not favor a person based on their ethnic or cultural background or economic background. Be careful not to favor a person based on how much they give to the church in their offering bags or how active they are in church. Treasure each person purely according to his or her calling in Christ. Stephen was stoned to death. A great persecution had broken out in Jerusalem. All the believers except the apostles were scattered throughout Judea and Samaria. But did the persecution stop the preaching of the gospel? Not a chance. For that matter, COVID will not stop the preaching of the gospel. Those who were scattered preached the word wherever they went. They were scattered. They traveled to Samaria, some as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus, and to Antioch, preaching only to the Jews. But there were those who were from Cyprus, an island in the Mediterranean Sea, and Cyrene in Africa, who preached to the Gentiles also. Who were these trailblazers for the kingdom? You see, when you read this passage, there was no Paul or Barnabas. There was no Hudson Taylor. In fact, they were nameless. They were not named. They were just ordinary folks like you and I. They did not boast of being part of a powerful Jerusalem church. They hailed from the fringe territories of Cyprus and Cyrene. The Bible did not give their names, yet they were trailblazers, not because of their pedigree, but simply because of God's grace operating in their lives. They were simple, ordinary folk like you and I. Just simple folk struggling with the reality of being uprooted from their comfortable lives and seeking another place to settle. They were driven out of Jerusalem. As they went, they preached the gospel. And they pierced the cultural and ethnic barriers with their preaching. The grace of God was evident in these disciples as they preached. The same grace of God was present in the people who heard their preaching as well. The impact of the gospel among the Gentiles was staggering. We read in the text. A great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. The Holy Spirit called many Gentiles to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. When the Jerusalem church heard of it, they sent Barnabas to Antioch, not just to investigate, but also to shepherd the new church. Why Barnabas? Barnabas was a Jew from Cyprus. The church at Antioch was started by men from Cyprus and Cyrene. You see, the Jerusalem church was sensitive to the people in Antioch. And the people who started the church in the selection of Barnabas. Barnabas was also known as a son of encouragement. He was the right man for the job. It tells us that the Jerusalem church treasured Barnabas for his calling, valued him for who he was, both as a person from Cyprus and also in his ministry and calling as a son of encouragement. He was the right man for the job. And when he came to Antioch, he treasured the believers for who they were. He valued the grace of God in their lives. He saw God's grace and he was glad. And so he encouraged them in their faith and called them to remain true to their calling in Christ. And simply by loving the church and treasuring the church and ministering to the people, great numbers were added to the church. Barnabas loved the church. And now with the great numbers, what would he do? It was beyond his capability as one man to shepherd the church. I imagine Barnabas one night in his time of prayer before the Lord saying, "Lord, this church is becoming too big for me. It's too big for me to shepherd alone. How to attend to all of them? The needs are simply too great for one man. What would you have me do? Who can come and join me in this work?" And I imagine there in the night, in the time of his prayer as he waited on the Lord brought to him a man, the name that he had known some 10 years before. Barnabas had known Saul 10 years back. Saul himself had shared with him the vision of Christ and the road to Damascus. And by the sheer grace of God, Saul was called to be the apostle to the Gentiles. Barnabas knew this 10 years ago. Here's the backstory. When Saul came to Jerusalem, he tried to join the disciples, but they were all afraid of him, not believing that he was really a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles. He told them how Saul, on his journey, had seen the Lord, and that the Lord had spoken to him, and how in Damascus, he had preached fearlessly in the name of Jesus. So Saul stayed with them and moved freely about in Jerusalem, speaking boldly in the name of the Lord. He talked and debated with the Grecian Jews, but they tried to kill him. When the brothers learned of this, they took him down to Caesarea and sent him to Tarsus. And I would venture to imagine that one of these brothers was Barnabas himself. Barnabas remembered these things. He remembered where Saul was. And as a result, Barnabas traveled some 100 kilometers to the northwest of Antioch in search for Saul. He treasured Saul's calling to be a minister to the Gentiles. His love for Saul and love for the Gentile church at Antioch sent him on this journey. 100 kilometers, one way. No aeroplane, no bus, probably on foot, perhaps on a horse carriage. 100 kilometers there and back because he loved the church at Antioch and because he loved Saul, each according to their calling in Christ. And so we see here each person valued because of their gracious calling in Christ. The scattered disciples blazed the trail for the gospel because of their calling in Christ. They were effective not because they were some specially anointed preacher or missionary. They were effective simply because they lived out the grace of God in their lives. Barnabas was valued for the grace of God in his life as a son of encouragement. The Gentile Antioch church was treasured because of the grace of God in their lives. Saul was treasured because of the gracious calling of God in his life. And so, my brothers and sisters in Christ, the Holy Spirit affirms that each one of you, here or at home, each one of you, you are treasured by God the Father because of your calling in Christ Jesus alone. The grace of God is at work in you. Each one of you. There is nothing that you can do that will make God love you more, and there is nothing that you can do that will make God make you less. God has loved you fully and accepted you fully because of Jesus, just as you are in all your uniqueness. Sometimes in our eagerness to grow the church, we might do things to suggest that you are valued only if you contribute, only if you serve, or only if you invite your friends, or only if you evangelize, or only if you attend my LTP class, then you are valued. No. Or only if you attend our small groups or our many, many programs. In this eagerness, we adopt a crusader's attitudes, and we try to rally and mobilize everyone to battle out of good intentions. And we fail to realize that each one must be treasured, not for what they can do, but simply because of who they are in Christ. God loves you, and therefore you are valuable. In our eagerness to become the so-called successful church, in our eagerness to become the so-called successful church, the church that we want can potentially become the enemy of the church that we have. We get into wishful thinking. Why can't we be more committed? Why can't more people be involved? Why can't? And then we forget that there are people with us, each one precious in the sight of the Lord. We are called to accept and treasure and love one another in Christ just as we are. And trust that the Holy Spirit is forming for himself a church made up of people of all shapes and sizes. You see, among us are the broken, the hobbled, the crippled, the abused, the misused, the emotionally unstable, the stubborn, the passive, the young and the old. Among us are men who failed many times over, women who ignored, who were ignored and scorned. You see, we are a church made up of people from all ages, male and female, some healthy, some ill, some rich, others poor, some intellectual, some more simple. Some are fresh new believers, others mature and steady, but yet all uniquely called by the Spirit and granted repentance in Christ, and therefore treasured and loved by God himself. If you want to become a seedbed for trailblazers, we must value each one and nurture each one to realize his or her destiny as uniquely called by God. How can BPMC become a seedbed for trailblazers in the kingdom? First, treasure each person according to their calling. And secondly, tutor each person to live out the character of Christ. Tutor each person to embody the character of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Our goal is Christ-likeness. Our impact will be significantly greater when we embody the gospel that we preach. When we do not merely preach the gospel, but actually live out the gospel in our everyday life. The church that tutors its members to live the gospel is a seedbed for trailblazers for the kingdom. Acts 11:26, for one whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. My brothers and sisters in Christ, today, many people carry the name Christian, even wear a cross over their chest, but their lives are nowhere near the master by whose name they are called. It is very sad. The number one reason, or at least one of the most common reasons that people give for not believing the gospel, is that Christians are hypocrites. They call themselves Christians, but their lives are anything but Christian. Yet in the early church, the name Christian carried a great weight. Antioch was the origin of the name Christian. It was not a name that they gave to themselves. They didn't call themselves Christians. They were all called disciples or members of a sect. It was a name that was given to them by the watching world. Mainly, it was given to ridicule them, to swan them. Eee, little Christian. Like what we do sometimes in the army, we experience, oh, little Jesus is walking by. Goody two shoes. mainly given to ridicule the believers, perhaps with a tinge of respect as well. The watching world did not fully understand the disciples, but they took notice of the witness of the church. There was no mistaken who these people were following. They were following Christ. So the world gave them the name. The disciples at Antioch gave them the name Christian. Well, at that time there were Herodians. The Herodians belonged to Herod. They served Herod. They obeyed Herod. They lived for the glory of Herod. And then there were Caesareans or Caesareans. They belonged to Caesar. There was even a city called Caesarea. They served Caesar. They did the bidding of Caesar. They displayed the character of Caesar. They sought the glory of Caesar. Christians belong to Christ. They serve Christ. They seek the glory of Christ. They display the glory of Christ to the watching world. Another example. Little pigs are called piglets. Little ducks are called ducklings. Little Christ are called Christians. If you like, Christlets or Christlings. When the unbelieving world saw the testimony of the Antioch church, they saw the life of Jesus in display. They saw little Christians or little Christ in their world. They saw little Christ on their streets. They saw little Christ at their workplaces. They saw little Christ at their playgrounds in the neighborhood. Christians lived out the character of Jesus Christ, and their witness is so powerful that the world gave them a new name, Christian, Christlings, Christlets. Little Christ was seen all over the place. At Antioch, each person was tutored to live out the character of Christ. Saul and Barnabas spent an entire year with them to shepherd them and to tutor them. Saul and Barnabas embodied the life of Christ before them. Saul and Barnabas lived with them, talked with them, discussed with them, walked with them, answered their questions, learned their stories as they shared their own stories, and in so doing, they tutored them in the life of Christ. For over an entire year, I believe, Barnabas and Saul embodied and taught the command of Jesus when he gave it to his disciples in the upper room, when he said, "A new commandment I give you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another. By this, all people will know that you are my disciples. By this, all people will know that you are little Christ, that you follow me if you have love for one another." And in the midst of all the persecution that was happening in the early years, one of the remarks of the unbelievers about the Christians was the remark, "Oh, how they love one another." That was the testimony. This love was displayed by those from Cyprus and Cyrene when they reached out beyond their ethnic boundaries to preach Christ to the Gentiles. This love was displayed by the Jerusalem church when they honored Barnabas for his calling and sent him to serve the Antioch church. This love was displayed by Barnabas himself when he recognized the grace of God present in the Antioch believers, and he shepherded them. And when he searched out for Saul to aid Saul towards living out his own calling to be the apostle to the Gentiles, this love was displayed by Barnabas and Saul when they spent an entire year, not just touch and go, but an entire year teaching and modeling the life of Christ among the believers. Both Barnabas and Saul were not native to Antioch. Both spent an entire year tutoring the disciples, so much so that they became part and parcel of that church. And when they were called to the mission field, it was the church at Antioch that sent them as one of their members to go out to fulfill God's calling for their lives. The Antioch church became their home base. The Antioch church became a place where they could return to find rest and renewal after the work that they had done in the mission field. This love for one another was lived out in such a way that the watching world took notice and gave them the name Christian. Here's one more example, just the next few verses from this text. The prophet Agabus predicted famine will strike Judea. And the disciples responded immediately, how? Taking an offering to the aid of the brothers in Judea. The disciples, according to this ability, decided to provide help for their brothers living in Judea. This they did, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. Love in action beyond themselves. You see, previously, Barnabas sold off a piece of his own property to help brothers living in poverty in Jerusalem. Now the Antioch church gave according to their ability to help the Jerusalem church in their time of need. They learned to love, not in the classroom, but in the company of men who practiced Christ-like love as part and parcel of their lives. They were tutored to love like Barnabas. They were tutored to love like Jesus Christ. Their love was spontaneous. Like how Barnabas spontaneously sold his land to aid the poor. Their love was not coerced. There was no coercion. Like how Barnabas freely loved without reservation. Their gift was according to each person's ability. There was no judging as to who gave more, who gave less. Some gave more, some gave less, but all gave, all share in the gift of giving. They've been tutored to live out the character of Christ, not in the classroom, but in everyday living, in such a way that the watching world took notice and called them little Christ, Jesus. Little Jesus. They were called Christians. No wonder they had such a great impact on their city. To the extent that eventually they impacted the entire Roman Empire. Little Christ was seen on the streets, loving one another and loving others. Little Christ were at the playground, in the classrooms, all over the place. Their living became worthy. You see, when we build Christ-like disciples, we do not need to worry about sending the next missionary. God Himself will call His people to His mission. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ, when we treasure every single person because of his or her calling in Christ, and when we tutor each person by word and by life to embody the character of Christ, we become a seedbed for nurturing trailblazers for the kingdom of God. The older generation of the church members, sometimes we ask the question, who will be our next missionary that will go forth from our lands to the countries beyond? And we keep asking God, raise the next missionary. And we keep pounding the pulpit and calling people to go. And there's a place for that. But I'd like to say, from the word of God, that as we build our people, as we tutor our people, we treasure our people, we will become that seedbed. They will go where God calls them, in His time, for His glory. Here at BPMC, I believe we already possess the DNA to become this seedbed for trailblazers in the kingdom. We already possess it. Like Antioch, we are the church of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Like Antioch, we seek the glory of the Father. Like Antioch, the Holy Spirit lives in us and among us and bears His fruit in us so that we become increasingly like Jesus. Like Antioch, we have leaders who follow Jesus, who love each person in our assembly and who has made sacrifices to serve the assembly. Like Antioch, we have people who love one another and who love the community around us and even the foreigners with and near us. You see, in the midst of the current COVID situation, food and gifts have already been delivered to one another's homes to express love and encouragement. Encouragement is already being done among us. Efforts have been made to support those who are suffering from financial challenges, from the economic downturn. And just this week, some of us delivered gifts to the foreign workers housed in a school next to our church. It is already happening. We already possess the DNA of the Church of Jesus Christ. Yes, the Holy Spirit Himself has formed us as Christians who seek to love God and to love one another and to love others. So my message for us today is not so much that we do a lot of things more, but when we learn to continue and persevere in loving one another, in treasuring each person in our assembly, whether they are young or whether they are poor, whether they always complain one or they always give praise. Treasure each one for who they are, whether they are male or female, whether they are local or foreigners, whether they are simple or sophisticated, whether they've been in the church for a long time or whether they are in the church for just a short time. Let us learn to see the grace of God active in each person's life. Each and every one that walks through that door to the sanctuary is treasured by God and lives in the grace of Jesus Christ. Let us treasure that person according to his or her calling. And as we are given opportunity, let us tutor each one. Tutor. I prefer the word tutor to teach, because tutor talks about personal engagement, about the exchange of life, exchange of story, that there is an intermingling of lives, not just from the pulpit and not just from the classroom, but to have someone to come alongside to walk with each one that comes through the door, to tutor each one to live out and to embody the life of Jesus Christ among us, and then to bring this life out into the spheres that we live, whether it be in our home, whether it be in society, whether it be in a marketplace, whether it be in our schools, in a camp. Tutor each one to become little Christ to God our Father. Tutor each one to become little Christ to one another. Tutor each one to become little Christ to the watching world. I believe God, by His grace and by His Holy Spirit, will indeed make us and continue to make us and grow us to be this seedbed that will nurture trailblazers for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, of our Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Let us pray. Let's take a few moments. In the presence of the Lord, take a few moments and see if the Lord will bring His word into your heart. Whatever He's saying, respond to Him. Perhaps He has brought a name to your mind, a person that you ought to treasure a little bit more. It might be someone that has failed you, but yet someone you know, the grace of God lives in him or her. Respond to the Lord. Perhaps He has given you a name or a person that He's calling you to walk with, to tutor. It may not be as someone who is better or superior, but as a friend. Just walk together in the faith, share the struggles and the reality of living out our faith before the Lord. Respond to Him. Pray to Him. Holy Father, because of Jesus, we are your children, treasured and loved by you. Thank you for speaking to each one of us this morning by your Holy Spirit. As you have heard our prayers, we ask, dear Lord, that you grant us the confidence that you will answer these prayers of ours. Again, because of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who first loved us and delivered himself up for us. And we ask, dear Lord, that indeed, as a church, as BPMC, as your church, the Church of Jesus Christ here in Pasir Ris, we will become a seedbed for trailblazers in the kingdom of God. Teach us to persevere in loving one another, treasuring each one for their calling. And help us to tutor one another, to walk with each other, so that we become more and more like Jesus Christ, our Lord. That is our prayer. We thank you that you will answer it. In Jesus' name, amen.